This week we're kind of following up from last week, for those of you that were not here or whatever, but I'm really looking hard at the written word of God. And last week it was all about it is written and how Christ made it through the desert he had to go into for 40 days and 40 nights and fast and be tempted. And how did he overcome the temptations in his life? By repeating, it is written, and knowing this, what that time it would have been about this. The first few books in the Torah. But there was enough there. This week we're going to continue on because I know, to focus intentionally on the written word of God is, I don't want to call it a lost art, but it just seems like society is moving on and not looking at it whatsoever. And it's lost its importance, not only in society, but I feel like, and we'll talk about this next week, I feel like it's lost its importance in the church. It's lost its importance in the congregation. It's lost its importance in the denomination. It's lost its importance in the overall worldwide church. Now, I will tell you, Shirley brought it up. It's a good thing. It really is. A lot of folks have kind of, and these are folks outside of these walls, have said, Stan, you know, there is a lectionary you could preach from. There's a lectionary, and you know I don't like the word preach. There's a lectionary you could give a message from. It's meant, you know, so you don't have to spend so much time looking. Well, the lectionary is wonderful. The lectionary is based upon a liturgical calendar. The lectionary is there for your use. But I don't feel like that lectionary really gives us the nuance of what is happening day after day after day and what is happening in today's church. It's more historical. So what's going to happen? I'm going to make this attempt, surely. Since I know, no pressure here, by the way, that the Wednesday Women's Bible Study has chosen not a new study to do, but what they're going to do is pick apart Pastor Stan's sermon from the previous Sunday. Oh, yuck it up. Laugh, Ray. Yeah, I get you. So what I'm going to do is, if I have the opportunity, we will be having a notes page in this because we're going to dive down and we're going to touch the drain. We're going to go deep. And we really are going to start today. And it's not because of that, but it's because I feel like that's the way I'm being led. I've talked to younger kids. I've talked to 20s and 30-year-olds. I've talked to teens. I've talked to whatever. And we'll have a slide I'll show you later, not today, but about how the feelings are about the church, how people feel about the Bible, how people feel about Christians. It's pretty interesting stuff. But one of the things that is said by specifically the teens, 20-year-olds, is that this book is boring. That I don't understand this book. So we're going to start on a little bit of understanding this morning. And as I always say, I'm preaching to the choir. I know that. I really do. But it's not only for your benefit that we're doing this, but it's for mine. Because that's why I feel led to be here. We can have difficulties with music like we did this morning. We can choose songs that are maybe new, that maybe we're not used to. That's all well and good. Worship is important, and I'm not saying that it's not. But I've always felt that my mission is this. This is my mission. Regardless of whatever else happens within a service, this one week that we come together, it is a chance to come together and get into this scripture. Now I am so excited, and I truly am, that throughout the week, It's not only going to be a women's Bible study or men's Bible study, but we're really going to be diving into Scripture. One of the reasons people say that they have a hard time with the Bible today is because they don't understand it. And one of the reasons that they don't understand it, I guarantee you, is the use of metaphors. And we're going to look at some metaphors this morning and move forward. So here's the deal. I'm going to give you two scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16, and then put a marker at Ezekiel 37. So those of you that are in your Bibles, in your devices, in your whatever you brought with you, if you're on a device, just make sure you're reading along with us and not playing Sudoku or something like that. But that's what we're going to be looking at, is 2 Timothy 3:16 and then Ezekiel 37. We'll get to that scripture in a moment, but here's why that scripture is so important to us this morning. See, in these metaphors, the Bible calls the Word of God, which is this, bread, water, air. So there's some metaphors for you. One of the difficult times that people have in reading the book is misunderstanding, and so they don't read it at all. So let's look at it this way. How long can you go without food? How long can a person live without food? I mean physical food. Dorothy, any idea? You fix food. So there have been people that have went on hunger strikes, and they will tell you a body can live 40 to 80 days without food. Now I'm talking physical food. Some less, some during that time, some more. 40 to 80 days. How long can you go without water? Well, water will tell you, scientists will tell you, once again, based upon your physiological makeup, you've got about 4 to 12 days, depending upon who you are. How long can you go without air? So we are reducing, right? Scientists will tell you 4 to 8 minutes. There are some Navy SEALs and some people like that have trained themselves or have the capacity to hold their breath for about 4 minutes. That's about as long. I think the world record is slightly over that, 4 minutes, 36 seconds, something like that. So there's your metaphors from the Bible. So what I want to do this morning is focus on air. So for the next 60 seconds, here's what I would like for you to do. I want you to close your eyes and just breathe as deeply as you can. Go. We'll call that good. I'm so happy I didn't hear snoring. It scared me when I wrote that. I thought, do I really, really want to do this? So Cindy and I get married, right? We don't do anything traditionally. We kind of go against the grain sometimes. So she was like, Stan, let's take an untraditional honeymoon trip. So here was our honeymoon trip, knowing that, and I got to choose it, I picked it, and knowing the adventurous spirit of both of us or whatever, we chose to spend our honeymoon in a place called Leadville, Colorado. Leadville is the highest incorporated city in the United States elevation-wise. It's twice as high as Denver, so you're essentially 2 miles. 2 miles high as you're standing on the ground. The really cool thing about Leadville is we could choose Leadville and we were at the nearest point of the Continental Divide, and there's a place called Independence Pass, and depending upon whether you went to the west or the east, you would immediately just go down the mountain. We couldn't afford a week in Aspen, but we could stay in Leadville and visit Aspen and drive down Independence Pass and back up. We couldn't afford to stay in Breckenridge, but we could go through the east and go down to Breckenridge. I thought it was the coolest idea ever. As I get to the hotel that we're staying at, that was built in the 1800s, and we thought it was really neat because we were staying at a hotel that Houdini stayed in. Let's see, who else? Doc Holliday, we stayed in a room that he stayed in, and Teddy Roosevelt, we stayed in a room that he stayed in. The neatness wore off. When we got there, there was no elevator. The first floor was really huge, vaulted ceilings. This place was built in the 1800s. We were on the second floor. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. How my wife packs her bags was a big deal. Because you're talking two flights of stairs just to get up to the first floor, four flights of stairs to get to the second floor, and I was out of breath halfway up the stairs. And that was the first trip. My body was not used to starving for oxygen. Now, it was a great trip. U.S. Olympic athletes go there to train because of that lack of oxygen. And it was a great trip. But that told me something. That put a stress on my body that I was not used to. And that's just carrying some bags up to your hotel room. A little lack of oxygen, a little lack of air. How many believers get stressed out because of a lack of air? And the air that I'm talking about is this. What brings on a panic attack? What's usually the first symptom? Is a lack of air. And what I liked about 2 Timothy 3:16 is it says, all scripture is God-breathed. Now, the King James Version will tell you, in quotation marks, given by inspiration from God. But all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. What I found this week is the word, the Greek word that was used was theonoustos. Theo or thea, meaning God. Noustos, meaning air, meaning breathed. And you know, we take Greek words and we've turned those into our words over a period of time, or we've adopted them in some way. So is anybody familiar with pneumatic tools? Pneumatic tools are run on. If your lungs have a hard time with oxygen and you might be sick, you might have pneumonia. Theopneustos. The literal meaning is God breathed. I think our ideas of this book, that's been lost. And we're going to take a real quick trip through Ezekiel this week, and we're going to look at it a little bit more next week. But keep that in mind as I read Ezekiel 37 to you, and this is going to take a little bit, but we're only doing 1 through 10. Go to the Old Testament with me. The Valley of the Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was on me. Now, this is Ezekiel talking, okay? He's having a one-on-one conversation with God. And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know, which essentially meant, I don't know. Ezekiel didn't. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, meaning Ezekiel, as I was commanded. And I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, come, breathe from the four winds, and breathe into these slain bones, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. Breath entered them. They came to life, stood up on their feet, and they were a vast army. I think we're living in a world of a lot of dry bones right now. I think we have a lot of dry bones around. What's interesting is the use of breath and the use of prophecy. Breath is mentioned, I think, about 7 times in that scripture. Prophecy is mentioned 6 times in that scripture. Prophecy or prophesy, one way or the other. But a lot of people don't understand that. And the problem with that is understanding this book, understanding stories like that, take faith. But with that faith, what else needs to come along? At least a little understanding. There has to be understanding. Let me give you an example. Raising children, living life, working where you work, a chaotic life. Life's tough. And the scripture that I go to, for example, 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, live with your wife with understanding. Now, I paraphrase that. Guys, I'm going to tell you, you are never going to truly understand your wife unless you know this book. And in turn, women, you're really not going to understand your man without this book. But on top of that, are you going to understand relationships? Are you going to understand your children? Are you going to be able to raise children? Are you going to be able to raise grandchildren? How are we going to deal with bad news? How are we going to deal with bad health? So those that turn away from this, when something does go wrong, they're starved for air. And they reach out and they grasp. Luke 24:45, and I'll give you time to write that down. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scripture. So don't be afraid of the book. The way that I look at this is your owner's manual from the manufacturer. That's what this is. And we've put it down. Next week, I'm going to show you how we've put it down. But I'm going to give you one more scripture. Isaiah 55:11 says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth, that it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So today's question is, and I'm sure there are many in you in here that have everything together and don't have a care in the world. I'm sure many of you will go home today and probably bored because nothing's going on in life. You've got it nailed. For those of the rest of us, who's living in chaos? Who's living with issues that's constantly is going through their mind and causing sleepless nights, causing difficulties and strains? This is the owner's manual for that. And the world is out of breath. The world is completely out of breath. But here's the good news. Out of chaos, which is mentioned in Genesis, God breathed. He breathed. He formed us with his breath. Wouldn't it be really cool if you knew you had a God that today said, let there be light over your life. Let there be peace over your life. Let there be understanding over your life. And that is where we come with the idea of air and why I wanted everybody to breathe deep when we started this. Because it is precious. It's absolutely precious. And when we know that this God-inspired book calls itself, and it's said many times, that this is air, that it's that important. Here's the problem. This book is more available today than it ever has been. In more languages, more translations, more manufacturers or makers, editors, etc. of this book. The book is available on smartphones. You have an app you can wake up to every morning that gives you your devotion. Many people have the Bible, First Testament, you know, the first part, Old Testament, New Testament, the Synoptic Gospels, the fourth Gospel, John, which is not synoptic, and on and on and on and on and on. They can have it on many devices. And this book is less read today than it ever has been by fewer people. Why? And that's why I feel like we have gotten away from the food, we've gotten away from the water, and we've gotten away from the breath of life. So as we study this week, and I want you to keep these two scriptures in mind because we'll be coming back to it, keep a friend in mind. Talking about handing out those crosses, keep a friend in mind that maybe you know that does not attend a church, that does not get any kind of touch and reach at all. Give them a New Testament. Just say, listen, give it a shot. Start reading a little bit. You'll get a little bit of pushback from that, I guarantee you. But plant the seed. We talked about the soil of your life. Plant the seed. Bring somebody that maybe you know needs to hear the word. Several of you, I really feel like an understanding of why I came here to Oxford is this. You get, you know, the D word, discipleship, a lot. But the one thing I know that one of these days I will stand in front of my maker and he's going to ask me, Stan, did you preach from my word? And I'm like, yep. Did you tell the truth? Yep. Did you stress air and water and food of life? Yep. Did you play some songs that maybe some people didn't like or whatever? Yep. Were you perfect in everything that you did? Nope. But the one thing that I know, I feel led to do, is this. The better understanding that we have of this book, the better understanding we're going to have of not only ourselves, but our wives and our husbands and our children. Last week we talked about it is written. Here's the problem with that. People won't know it's written unless they read it. You won't understand it unless you read it. And if you don't understand it, you can't apply it. So that's the key. That's the big thing. There's a song called "This Is the Air I Breathe." We're going to just set still. And I just want to use this song. Just listen to it. I just want to use this song as your devotional time and a time to where you can just bear all with Christ.
This is the air. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me.
This week, I want you to maybe look that song up, listen to it a time or two. We might even sing it one of these days. But it's a wonderful song that tells us that He is the air we breathe. He's the water we drink. He's the food we eat. He sustains our life. He sustains us. And we want to make sure that others know that as well. And that's the way that we're going to end today. Allow me to close in prayer. You'd all stand, that'd be great if you can. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for a beautiful day. Thank you so much for your word. The word that we have in our heart, the word that we hide in our hearts in troubled times and difficulties. Lord, give us strength and give us passion for you and passion for that word, that it might guide our light and be the light that guides our path. Be with our friends. Be with our loved ones. Be with those that do not know you, Lord. We ache for them. You've given us a great day and a beautiful day, Lord, and we just want to give our love back. And it's in thy Son's name I ask all of this. Amen.